Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Sweeney Murdy in Tampa, Yankees and Blue Jays getting set to kick off the exhibition schedule. John and Susan getting warmed up, and they'll bring you all the play-by-play. They come your way at 12:55 today. First pitch about 10 minutes after that. And tomorrow's game as well, Yankees and Rays in Port Charlotte. And that's where they are. They're still in Port Charlotte, right? Yeah, Yankees and Rays in Port Charlotte. That'll be tomorrow. So exhibition baseball on the docket today and tomorrow on The Fan. 1 o'clock first pitch. If you've missed our conversation so far, we talked to Ken Singleton in the 10 o'clock hour and Tino Martinez in the 11 o'clock hour. And you can go to the radio.com app and hit rewind and go back and listen to those and catch them also on WFAN.com. Right now, take you inside the Yankees clubhouse for a conversation I had earlier this morning with Zach Britton. Britton, obviously Yankee reliever, here for his second full season after signing as a free agent prior to last winter. Britton on the excitement of Gerrit Cole, on the things going on in the Yankee bullpen now that Chad Green has kind of moved back full-time into that, maybe no longer being needed as an opener. And Britton's thoughts on what happened with the Astros, given that he is the player rep and there is some tension between players and the union that protected the Astros players from getting punished. All of that in this conversation that I had this morning with Zach Britton.
Zach, I'm going to start with the good stuff. Tell me what you thought, what you felt when you heard that Gerrit Cole was going to be a Yankee.
I was really excited. Obviously, we have the same agent, so before anything was done, I was picking Boris's brain a little bit, seeing where they were, and maybe trying to help bridge the gap between them. But I was really excited when I knew that we were serious players. And then kind of towards the end, I know he had a big decision to make. I know the teams that he was kind of like wavering, deciding between. So it was nice when we finally got the deal done. That's for sure.
I've learned in a short period of time how much he likes talking about pitching. For somebody who knows the craft, how much fun is it to just talk about that aspect of it with him?
Yeah, it's actually it's always nice to sit there and talk to guys. Obviously, he's an elite starter. We're in different roles, but kind of picking his brain on what makes him successful, right? Picking his brain on different things, and he's been picking other people's brains, I think, a lot too, which is really cool, right? He's trying to perfect his craft and find anything else from the guys that have. That's the thing with this clubhouse is you've had so many pitchers that have pitched at an extremely high level, and you just don't find that in other clubhouses. You really don't. You don't find four or five guys that have been in like all Cy Young consideration in one room. I don't think CeCe would have been the only guy that had won one, but with him gone. But you've had a bunch of guys that have pitched at an extremely high level. You just don't find that. So there's a wealth of knowledge in here. And now with him, I think a lot of our younger starters are going to be able to pick his brain, even if they don't want to, right? They're going to get some feedback, which is good, though. That's what you want out of an established starter as a veteran presence, to go there and help your younger starters, but at the same time help just everybody in general. So it's been good.
Do the conversations feel next level? Because I think he's a little bit more open in describing things with us than maybe a lot of pitchers are. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's part of it, but it just feels like he's constantly thinking about a lot of things.
Yeah, not necessarily. He's more vocal about it, but he's pretty close to a lot of guys in here if you really get him talking about pitching. So it's not anything I haven't heard before. It's just, from a different perspective on it. Ottavino's, you know, that way I can get Chappie going in the bullpen, you know, talking about pitching. You can get Jay Happ going. You can get, you know, Seve going. I mean, everyone is – guys that have performed at, you know, that level kind of feel the same way about pitching. It's a unique thought process of it. So it's not anything new, but it's nice to hear it from a guy that, you know, was doing it somewhere else and maybe learned some tricks. Obviously from their pitching coach over there, Brent Strom, who's everyone has heard is, you know, kind of a genius when it comes to some of these things. And so picking his brain, like what he's learned in other stops.
There's a lot of trickle down to having him in the rotation. One of the impacts I think could be huge is getting Chad Green into more of a role that he occupied a couple of years ago, perhaps even giving you two innings at a time. How big of an impact could that have on this team right now?
Yeah, you know, most teams don't have that luxury to use Chad as an opener, right? And there was times when I was like, man, like it'd be really nice to be able to get him late in the game to give some of us a blow or whatnot. But I think he's going to fall back into a role that, for us, benefits the team, benefits him, because he's a dominant late inning arm. I mean, this, to me, I look at him and obviously just the situation he's in right now. But, you know, this is a guy that's closing on probably any other team that he's on. And, you know, he's one of the best guys, pure stuff. You know, you're not going to find too many guys better. So I think for him, this is going to be a big year. And I hope, you know, settling into maybe a more consistent traditional role is going to really let him, you know, reach his top potential. But so far, he looks really good. You know, I was really happy to see him bounce back last year. I mean, he dominated, you know, once he came back after he got optioned. So that was good to see.
You live low in the zone. Mm-hmm. And Gary Sanchez is doing something with his stance that is designed to help that. How has that work gone so far, and what have you noticed?
Actually, I threw to him in my sim game the other day. I think I'm going to throw to him again tomorrow. And so, it's something that we talked about. It's hard to gauge it on one outing, but I threw a lot more breaking balls than I did anything else, really. So as I get the sinker going, then we'll see. For me, it's really the whatever's going to put him in the best position to be able to, you know, for me, stick a ball low in the zone or block a ball, whatever is comfortable. I didn't have any issues with the way he set up last year, but I believe this is something Tanner brought over from Minnesota, and it helps. So I'm all for whatever helps Gary. If he's comfortable with it, then it's fine with me. Like I said, the biggest thing for me is Gary feeling comfortable being in that position, you know, sticking the ball or blocking it. That's the biggest thing for me.
All right, so let's go back to last year's ALCS. You talked a lot about, at the time, a lot about maybe some fatigue and some overexposure to their hitters.
Yeah.
Having a winter to kind of think about, you know, losing that series, what have you kind of wrapped your mind around regarding that?
You know, I look at it and I think I threw the most innings other than Tanaka against that lineup. And as a guy that was traditionally closing games, a one inning guy, you know, that's not necessarily what you want to see. Obviously I had success. I don't think I gave up a run to him, but you know, Tommy, I think, was behind me. We were pretty close, if not equal innings too. And then like a guy like Chappie, I think, had the least. So obviously you want to be able to, you know, you want to be able to get Chappie in these games, right? But I think with a guy like adding a guy like Garrett, it's going to, you know, decrease some of that workload in the postseason, because you want to keep guys sharp. And it's hard in the postseason with the adrenaline. Hitters are better. Guys are locked in. And, you know, relievers can get overexposed. Obviously, I was a starter. Track record not great as a starter, because you don't have the pitchability to go, you know, through the lineup multiple times as often, right? Like, you can do it every now and then when you're really locked in. But for the most part, you're going to overexpose guys the more teams get a look at you. And, it, you know, like when I made those comments, like looking back on it, I mean, we held them to 170 average. So, I mean, it wasn't like they saw a lot of us, but, you know, guys are really good. Like I said, I didn't give up any runs, and I threw the most innings against them other than Tanaka. So I just think in the long run, like getting an elite starter, you watch the Nationals do it, right? They didn't have as good of a bullpen as we do, but, you know, their starters were able to bridge that gap with them. In some games, really, really pick him up in some innings. So, you know, I think that's what Garrett's going to do with us this year. But also, at the same time, I think, you know, get Seve healthy. It's going to help Seve. It's going to help Pax. It's going to help Hap. It's going to help every single person. Tanaka, too. I mean, imagine Tanaka going up against a guy's number two or number three. I mean, it's just going to open the doors for us that we weren't able to last year.
You obviously weren't here in 2017, but you know the story revolving around it. One of the issues, I think, and you're the Yankees player rep, the anger that's coming from all corners, not just from the Yankee clubhouse and the people that were on this team then, but from all corners of baseball, but what happened with the Astros. Your union protects their players too, and so many people have spoken out about they believe that those players should have been punished harder. Is there something fundamentally wrong with that 29 other teams are so incensed at the way the punishment went down, and it's your union that's protecting them?
Yeah, you know, but that's the job of a union, to protect all your employees, whether or not the majority agrees with them or not, right? And that's why we have a great union. So, you know, as a, you know, player that obviously doesn't approve of what they were doing and is not happy about it, but I'm a big union guy, and I support, like, them being represented by our union, right? And the reality is that, you know, from what I understand, Lunau did not, they got an email saying, hey, we can't do this or that, right? And that wasn't filtered down to the players. So, right, it's not the players' job to be informed necessarily on some of those rules, especially when Major League Baseball sends it to your GM. And my wife's an attorney, so, right, so you take this to a court of law and it's going to get thrown out immediately because they weren't informed of it. Whether or not you know what's right or wrong, right? We all know what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing, but the fact that no one told them that this is a rule now, this is a rule, we can't do this, there will be discipline, that's where they, you know, they get away with not being disciplined, right? Whether or not I believe they should, I think they should be. I think they definitely should be disciplined, but you know, we have a CBA for a reason, and this doesn't fall within those guidelines of being a Manfred being able to discipline the players. So the whole immunity thing, it really doesn't matter because they couldn't be disciplined anyway within our CBA. There's no guidelines for discipline, and hopefully there will be now.
Have you had to have tough conversations with players in this room about it?
You know, I'm trying to keep perspective, right? I wasn't there, but I played them just as much as the Yankees did in the regular season, right? Obviously didn't play against them in the postseason that year. And they were doing it against everybody. I want to say I looked at a clip where I think Baltimore, they used it the most times out of any series in 2017, which makes sense because we weren't using sophisticated signs. And I think we got destroyed by them every time. But, you know, it's a tough subject to talk about. Cheating's cheating. You know, right is right, wrong is wrong. So, you know, I'm sympathetic with whatever, you know, the guys in here feel like, whether they got cheated out of World Series. You know, I don't know. I don't know if like, I would go that far. I would say that they should have had an opportunity to probably play in the World Series, but I try to keep perspective that there was also another team out there with the Dodgers who were really, really good. So this team, I think, should have had an opportunity, hopefully. You know, if things were even, I think this team, from what I saw in 2017, would have probably been in the World Series. Whether or not they would have won, I don't know. But I can go as far as saying that I think this team, you know, missed out on an opportunity of playing in a World Series. And, you know, that's a frustrating thing for a fan base, for players, when, you know, you get to a certain point and you're doing things the right way. And, you know, this stuff comes out. Especially when you feel like you got beat fair and square. You go home at the end of that season. And I've done it before last year, right? I go home and I put everything out on the line, you know, and when you get beat, you know, fair and square, you're like, okay, it's a little easier to swallow and turn the page. But when you hear people are cheating, and I'm not just cheating, I'm talking about like a significant advantage. I mean, that's like me getting in the hitter's head and know where he's looking to swing,
right?
Like, you can't defend yourself from a hitter knowing what's coming. It's absolutely not. I was throwing my sim game yesterday, and I was telling the hitters what's coming because that's what I do.
Yeah.
I was kind of chuckling, like, hey, this is what it would have been like, right? And you can just see the quality of swings and the confidence of the swings is way higher. So, yeah, I think you can be upset and, you know, with the opportunity that you lost, but you also have to be able to move on. And that would be the biggest challenge, is getting everybody to move on as we get closer with these games.
It's also not about necessarily the confidence of swings, but the takes, too.
Yes,
now,
right.
There are
Absolutely.
People here who still believe it was going on last season. You walked five batters in last year's series,
yeah.
Including one intentionally.
Yeah.
But are you among those who believe that there were things going on last year, too?
I can't say 100% no, but I don't. We had a very sophisticated sign package.
Yeah.
and I threw against them the most innings, and I threw a bunch of breaking balls, and that's not a pitch I throw, and they didn't take one swing on that breaking ball. I mean, if their system was working, they would have taken some aggressive swings. They took swings like they didn't know it was coming. And I look back on all of our video of all of our guys that year, last year, and there wasn't one specific at bat that I could really detail as a reliever, from a reliever standpoint. Maybe as a starter when you started seeing some stuff, but with the signs that we had, and obviously the investigation with MLB and then talking guys behind the scenes too. I'm not going to name names, but just, you know, kind of like getting a feel for what was going on last year. I can pretty confidently say I don't think they were doing anything last year. And a lot of that was us defending against it with the signs that we had. But also looking at video, there wasn't one at bat that I threw against them where I felt like it was weird. I think the walks were more so on me trying to be too fine in certain situations with good hitters. And then obviously my command last year just in general wasn't great on my sinker. So the walks I think were more on me than anything that they were doing. But I mean, you can't be 100% sure, right? But I think that narrative doesn't hold a lot of weight if you really look into the research and stuff like that. Like, you can say 18, I think, for sure. But if you're talking about last year, I just don't think there's any evidence to support that they were doing anything. Whether or not they were, I don't know, right? I don't know 100%, but nothing that I saw on video has changed my mind to think that they were cheating last year.
Zach, thank you. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, you bet. You're welcome.
And that's an interesting perspective from Zach Britton, who so many people, even in the Yankees clubhouse, believe the Astros were still doing something last year. Britton has taken a lot of time to study it. And remember, the pitchers are the ones who are the aggrieved parties here. When camp began, pitchers and catchers were all speaking out about this because they're the ones who deal with the signs. Britton told you about the curveballs that he was throwing and the Astros players not biting on it. Now, from a certain perspective, you might say, well, they knew it was coming. They didn't swing. They were kind of in the zone. And what his point was that if they had known the breaking ball was coming, they would have taken good swings at them because they were hittable pitches, not buried, and they didn't. So he is of the belief that the Astros did not know what was coming last year. And as far as the pitch to that Altuve hit off of Aroldis Chapman, more than one person has already said if it was a better pitch, it would have been a big difference because it wasn't just the fact that it was a slider. It was a pretty bad slider that was hittable for Altuve in that spot. But will we ever know? Even Britton says 100% certain. No, not going to be 100% certain. We've got your phone calls. About half an hour left for your calls. 877-337-6666. John and Susan are standing by for first pitch. Hi, Susan. Standing by for first pitch. Don't get too warmed up in the bullpen yet. You still got a little bit of time left. First pitch coming up just after 1 o'clock. The Yankees and Blue Jays kick off the exhibition season. There is finally a baseball game today, and you will hear it here on The Fan. But more of your phone calls for the next half hour. Until then, coming back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.